epistle for this 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, because in everything you have been enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the witness to the Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace, while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also keep you secure unto the end, unimpeachable in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over and came into his own town. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a pallet. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up thy pallet, and go to thy house." And he arose and went away to his house. When the crowd saw it, they were struck with fear and glorified God who had given such power to men. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, on July 13, 1917, Our Lady appeared to three children in Fatima, as you know. And on that day, she gave them a vision of hell. And after they saw that vision of hell, she conferred upon them a secret. She told them a secret that consisted of three parts. And each of the three parts of the secret had a positive side and a negative side. The first part concerned individuals. She said that basically her Immaculate Heart would be the refuge for people in the troubled times, troubled modern times. And that if people had devotion to the Immaculate Heart, they would save their souls. And if they did not have devotion to the Immaculate Heart, they would fall into hell, like the children saw all these souls falling into hell and being tossed around like burning embers. The second part of the secret concerned nations. And Our Lady said that she was going to come later on and request that the Pope consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in union with the bishops of the world, and also request the devotion to the five first Saturdays, the devotion of reparation to the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart. And if these steps were taken, nations would be saved, and Russia would be converted, the reign of Christ the King would come to these nations. But if her requests were not heeded, Russia would spread her errors throughout the world, and there would be a great war, which we know as World War II. And nations would be annihilated. The third part of the secret, well, we still don't have the actual text, but we know what was in the third part of the secret, concerned the church and the maintenance of the faith by the hierarchy of the church. Basically, if the church would foster devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and heed the requests of Our Lady of Fatima, then the hierarchy would maintain the faith. Otherwise, if her requests were not heeded, there would be a great apostasy among the members of the church, especially the members of the hierarchy. This secret contained the essence of the message of Our Lady of Fatima. And that message is basically this. The world is in really bad shape, and it's looking bleak for the world. But God is offering a last recourse, a last means for the salvation of the world. And that is devotion to my Immaculate Heart. And if people have recourse to this means, they will draw down upon themselves many great benefits. But if these means are neglected, then terrible things will happen to individuals, to nations, and to the church, to Holy Mother Church. So we can ask ourselves, why is this the plan of God? Why is this what God decides? Given the bleak condition of the world, Why would he require that people have devotion to the Immaculate Heart of his mother for the world to turn around? And there's many reasons that we could give for this. But I'll just give you three reasons that are very beautiful. One reason, the first reason, is because we know that God loves to use weak instruments to do great things. That's his favorite way of acting. Our Lady imitates this by choosing three little children, to convey this message to. And Our Lady was just a humble maiden from Nazareth, and he raises her, he makes her his greatest creature, and he wills to sanctify the world, to bring the Messiah into the world through her, and to make her the mediatrix of all graces, and to act through her in his operations of grace. And this is his plan, and it will always be his plan. Till the end of the world, Our Lady will be involved, is involved in the salvation of each individual and of the whole world. Then the second reason why God would ask us to go through Our Lady to him is because he knows that we cannot love our Lord properly and serve our Lord properly unless we know and love his mother. When we have a greater devotion to Our Lady, when we understand Our Lady better, we necessarily understand our Lord better, we necessarily love our Lord better. You can't be someone who's just like, I'm just going to love Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be devoted to him, I'm going to love him totally, but I'm not going to be devoted to his mother. It doesn't work because they are inseparable. You cannot separate our Lord from his mother by the will of God. And so when devotion to Our Lady is fostered, so also devotion to our Lord is necessarily fostered. Then the third and final reason is because we know that from the beginning of history of mankind, from the point of the original sin of Adam and Eve, it was the decree of God that there would be one person who would be set in opposition to the devil and would crush his head. And that is the woman. That is Our Lady. She is the one who crushes his head. And so it only makes sense that, especially as we come to the end times, and things get worse, there's a greater apostasy from God, falling away from God, that Our Lady's influence, Our Lady's quote-unquote interference, power, is exercised to a greater degree as time goes on. You might recall that 3 months ago I spoke to you on the Feast of the Sacred Heart about the practice of the enthronement of your homes to the Sacred Heart, and the purpose being to create in your home a place in this secular world where our Lord reigns, where our Lord is King. And coupling with that advice, I would like to speak to you today about the importance that there is to set beside the Sacred Heart in your home the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady, to have this double devotion in each home of our parish, the devotion to the Sacred Heart where our Lord is King in your home, the devotion to the Immaculate Heart where Our Lady is Queen of your home. So if you have the desire to do that, you hear these requests of Our Lady of Fatima, and you say to yourself, how can I make Our Lady Queen of my home? How can I put my family under her influence? It's quite simple. There were two main requests that she made at Fatima. One of them was the daily rosary, the family rosary. And the other was the devotion of the first Saturdays of the month, the devotion of reparation. So you must have this desire to have the daily recitation of the rosary in your home, as a family. So important. Our Lady of Fatima told Lucy every time she came and appeared, all six times, she said, pray the rosary daily. And of course, she wasn't just speaking to her. She was speaking to us. She was speaking to the entire world. This is a request of Our Lady. This is a request of God. Again, why? Why does Our Lady ask this? She is a good mother. She wants the salvation of our souls. She understands the dispositions of divine providence. She understands God's plan for this world, and that God wants to save souls through this prayer, through this special prayer that we as Catholics pray, that he has communicated to the rosary so much power, so much grace, that there are certain graces that he wants to communicate to us through that daily rosary. Even before Fatima, Pope Leo XIII, in many of his rosary encyclicals, he said, "The rosary is the most excellent form of prayer and the most efficacious means of attaining eternal life. It is the remedy for all of our evils, the root of all our blessings." You can just think about someone walking through Denver, walking through one of the many neighborhoods, or Bennett, Strasbourg, or whatever. Someone flying on a plane and looking down on this area, and there's just like all these houses, all these people, and they're all doing their thing. And to think that, well, in this particular home, the rosary is being prayed. Our Lady is being honored. Regardless of what is going on in the other homes, whether they're watching movies or preparing their meal or whatever they're doing, but in this house pays homage to Our Lady. This house honors Our Lady. What a beautiful thing to think about that, and to think about how could God not fail to bless that particular house, to shower blessings upon this house that makes an effort to have Our Lady as queen of that house. I hope that you're praying your rosary every day with your family. And if you're not, I warmly encourage you to do so. When should you start doing it? You should start doing it right away, as soon as you get married. It's even nice for couples before they get married to be praying the rosary together. But definitely once you get married, you want to pray the rosary every single day as a family. I know it's difficult, but think about the blessings that would come upon a family, a married couple, who prayed the rosary together every single day of their marriage. What incredible blessings would come upon them from God. It's difficult for many reasons. I mean, one thing is your family changes so much over the course of its history. You start off with no children, then you bring children into the world, and they're of different ages and perhaps different capacities to participate in the rosary. And it's a prudential decision as to what degree to involve them. Obviously, as they get older, they should be more and more involved with the rosary. But another thing that makes it difficult is the fact that your house is not a church. I mean, we come into church, we come into this beautiful church on Sundays, and this place is the house of God, and it's a place that's specifically built for the worship of God. And as such, when you come in here, you instinctively want to kneel down and pray to God and adore God. But you don't have that instinct when you're at home. It's your home. And I mean, hopefully you put holy pictures around to help remind you of your Catholic identity and of the virtues that you should practice throughout the day in your family life. But still, it's not a church. Another thing is that, you know, when you come to Mass, there's a ceremony going on, a ceremony for you to see, to capture your eyes, to help you not be distraction. You want to engage in the Mass. You want to follow the Mass. And at the sung Mass, you want to sing along with the Mass. And that helps focus you on the worship of God, on the homage that you're paying to him. But the rosary is not like that. It is a prayer, but it's not a liturgy so much. And I mean, you have to decide to what degree or you make it a liturgy or how you pray the rosary as a family. But it's not a ritual that is acted out. And so it's harder to focus. But what I want to especially recommend to families when they're praying the rosary is really to try to be reverent, to acknowledge Our Lady as their queen and to pray the rosary in a reverent fashion, and to think to yourselves, I mean, how would someone, what impression would someone have if they walked into my home when we were praying the rosary? Would they think to themselves, oh, this is something that is sacred. This is something that's sacred going on. Or would they be disedified? Perhaps someone's just like praying their Hail Mary at a breakneck speed, you know, or people are just slouching everywhere, slouching on the couch, or praying in an irreverent posture. I mean, obviously some people have to sit down, but there's a reverent posture of sitting down, and there's an irreverent posture of sitting down. It's better if we can kneel, but if we kneel, you know, we should try to have a reverent posture. And also to really get into the rosary. We don't want to distract others when we're praying. It's a group prayer. You don't want to draw attention to yourself. Praying the Hail Mary, perhaps in a very sentimental way, in a way that's not at the same pace as someone else. You definitely want to assist the others around you to pay attention to our Lord and our Lady and meditate on the mysteries. And you don't do that insofar as you attract attention to yourself. I mean, the best is when you're praying with a group and everybody's praying at the same rhythm, praying the rosary at the same rhythm. And this enables them to forget about their surroundings and lift up their minds to these sacred mysteries that they are meant to contemplate, because the rosary is a contemplative prayer. So it's so helpful to have that and to try to eliminate those distractions. It's so good to be able, and I know this is not always possible in a family, but even to close your eyes while you're praying the rosary. Close your eyes during the space of the mystery. This is such a beautiful mortification to do that says to Our Lady, I'm really giving this time to you. I'm not going to give myself over to whatever distractions may be around me during the rosary. You know, the devotion with which you pray your rosary at home makes a huge impact. It makes a huge impact on your children. It makes a huge impact upon your connection to Our Lady. And if you're serious about it and you try to make it as reverent as possible, you pay homage to her, you draw closer to her, she blesses your family, she helps guide your family. And obviously just failing to pray the rosary at all is a danger to the faith. If we're not doing that, if we're not heeding this request of Our Lady, we're saying, you know, I can do without it, I can save my soul and the soul of my family without it, we're skating on thin ice. We're risking the eternal welfare of our family. There was a priest once preaching on the family rosary, and he was sharing with the congregation his impression that once the rosary goes, pretty much the faith collapses. That was his opinion. And then he went on to say the following. He says, I remember someone telling me of a friend of his, a great Catholic, the pillar of the parish, whose children had all lapsed one after the other. They had all fallen away from the sacraments and from attending Mass. So I said to him, I wouldn't mind betting that your friend had been brought up to recite the family rosary when he was a boy and that his children haven't. The next time I saw him, he said that this was indeed true. His friend had recited the family rosary at home when he was a boy, and when he had got married and started his own family, they all said the rosary. But then one evening, when they were about to say the rosary, one of the children switched on the television, and that was that. The custom of the family rosary was dropped, and in due course, they gave up the practice of the faith. Besides the daily recitation of the rosary, if we really want to fulfill the request of our Lady, we should also have this devotion to the first Saturdays, this devotion of reparation, making reparation for the sins of mankind committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's a special request Our Lady makes of us. She says to us, I want you to assist me in this work of taking away the sins of the world. We are given a part in the redemption of mankind. Again, it's the providence of God that everybody is meant to play a part in the redemption of mankind, either for the good or for the bad. And Our Lady is teaching us a special way and which we can make this reparation. We draw down graces upon ourselves, upon our country, upon the church, by doing certain practices on the first Saturdays. And when we do these practices, for each of the practices, we have the intention to make reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So on the first Saturday, we go to Mass, we receive Holy Communion, we go to confession, either 8 days before or eight days after, or the day of the first Saturday. We also pray the five decades of the Rosary, and we meditate for 15 minutes on one of the mysteries of the Rosary, or multiple mysteries of the Rosary. So we do these five practices on the first Saturday, all for the intention of making reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We fulfill the requests of Our Lady of Fatima. We join with her in this great work of wiping away the sins of the world, of assisting with the redemption of mankind. So my dear faithful, today on this October 1st, we start the month of the Holy Rosary. And we know that in the 900 year history of the Rosary, since Our Lady revealed it to St. Dominic, the Rosary has accomplished so many things for individuals, for nations, and for the Church herself. And that the power of the Rosary is growing over time by the will of God. And we live in a time where Our Lady has come down from heaven, and she specifically asked us to pray the Rosary every day. And we honor Our Lady so much in our homes. We truly make our queen of our homes. When we take the time, we set apart time each day to gather our family and pray before her image. So let us be faithful to this practice, to have this filial piety towards Our Lady, to listen to her and really want to fulfill what she asks of us, and so ultimately save our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.